With Montana News, I'm Maxine Spire. Congressman Greg Gianforte is inviting the public to be on a conference call with him tonight at 6.05 p.m. His office announced the event via a press release at 3 o'clock this afternoon. A link to register for the call is available on our website, mtpr.org. A state inspection team found no quagga or zebra mussels at Tiber and Canyon Ferry reservoirs this week in their last checks of the year for the aquatic invasive species. Corinne Cates Carney reports.
A team of mussel-sniffing dogs from Canada found no evidence of adult mussels, which have become a big and expensive problem in the Great Lakes and other areas. Tom Wolf is the Aquatic Invasive Species Bureau Chief for Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks.
We haven't actually seen an adult mussel anywhere. We've seen just the microscopic guys.
The canine unit's visit to Montana means the season is almost over for Montana officials working to keep the state's waters clean from mussels. On Thursday, a team of dogs scoured the silo boat ramp along Canyon Ferry, finding no evidence of adult mussels. Montana uses them in partnership with the Alberta provincial government. A two-day search of Tiber earlier this week also resulted in no signs of adult mussels. Finding an adult mussel could signal potentially devastating consequences to Montana's waters and economy. Montana's aquatic invasive species boat inspection stations will close for the year this Sunday, October 15th. Of the more than 73,000 boats checked this season, 17 contained invasive mussels. I'm Corinne Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
Power is now restored to nearly all Northwestern Energy customers along the High Line. Some residents went without electricity for over a week after a major snowstorm October 2nd and 3rd. Edward O'Brien reports.
The early fall snowstorm wreaked havoc along a roughly 80-mile swath of northern Montana's High Line. From Havre to Malta, wet, heavy snow, ice, and powerful winds snapped 400 power poles like twigs, dropping miles of power lines in the process.
It was pretty remarkable. Every north and south line was damaged extensively by the storm. It's something like we haven't seen in Montana in quite a while.
Northwestern Energy spokesman Butch Larkham says an all-hands-on-deck effort made up of over 100 company and contract crews immediately went to work to restore power.
They started like at 6:30 in the morning and worked until 11 at night and just did as much as they could, and we were able to kind of rebuild our electric system up there.
Northwestern says crews trudged through snow and mud to repair or replace at least 2,000 power poles. Such a restoration project isn't cheap, and lots of work still needs to be finished. Costs could eventually exceed $2 million. Larkham says there won't be any immediate move to recoup those expenses.
But, you know, eventually we do factor our cost of doing business into what we ask the Public Service Commission to approve in terms of rates. The same statement could be made for the power outage in Missoula a couple summers ago or other outages we've had around Montana. In the long term, the customers probably will see some impact from it. In the short term, probably not.
Northwestern notes that some lines providing non-essential service, including those for irrigation pumps, may not be restored until spring. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
The fundraising organization for Glacier National Park has hit its goal for donations to winterize the historic Sperry Chalet, partially burnt in a wildfire this summer. Nikki Willett reports.
The Glacier National Park Conservancy set a goal of $106,000 to assess and stabilize the Sperry Chalet complex, which was scorched by the Sprague fire this August. Amy Dempster, director of marketing for the Conservancy, says they met and surpassed their goal late last week.
You know, the outpouring of support and the personal connection that people have to the Sperry Chalet has just, you know, really been overwhelming.
The National Park Service added $18,500 to the Conservancy donations. Crews spent the past few weeks stabilizing stone walls, encasing chimneys with wood collars, and protecting the buildings from wind, snow loads, and potential avalanches. A more thorough assessment will be needed next spring before the park decides the future of the Sperry Chalet. I'm Nikki Willett, Montana Public Radio.
Yellowstone National Park officials say that communications towers proposed for the Mount Washburn fire lookout would detract from views at the historic site and popular hiking destination. The park is proposing to erect a three-sided mounting structure with 40-foot towers and cellular antenna around the lookout. It's part of a broader effort to improve Yellowstone's wireless infrastructure. Park officials say they will consult with Wyoming's Historic Preservation Office on ways to minimize or offset the equipment's visual impact. State Representative Tom Woods of Bozeman announced his candidacy today for the Democratic nomination for the congressional seat currently held by Republican Greg Gianforte. Woods made his announcement today in Bozeman. He said healthcare, education, and the economy will be his key campaign issues. Two other Democrats have already announced they will campaign for the nomination, Grant Keir of Missoula and Billings attorney John Heenan. The primary election is set for June 5th. Former Montana First Lady Ann Stevens died of cancer in Kalispell on Sunday. She was 90. Stevens was Montana's First Lady from 1989 to 1993, while her husband, Stan Stevens, was governor. Governor Steve Bullock ordered flags be flown at half-staff tomorrow in her memory. Her memorial service takes place tomorrow in Whitefish. I'm Maxine Spire, Montana Public Radio.